all the businesses shut down. There's just this massive influx of garbage to the curb. We've seen a very, very significant increase in tonnage. For example, April was when it started to blow up for us, and I just decided to take a look at the previous years for the month of April. And from 2018 April to 2020 April, just those 2 months, so separate months, was 634 ton difference. We picked up 634 more tons just in the month of April. April of 2019 was a little bit of an increase. So we picked up 491 more tons April 2019 as a compared to April 2020. We do this manually. We are not an automated system. I know that's what we're here to talk about. And the timing of all this has been very, very unfortunate for us.
How big of an increase in tonnage is it in terms of percentage? Are we like a third more, double?
From 2019 to 2020, it's a 20% increase just for the month.
Wow.
So we're taking another 48-foot trailer full of garbage out to the landfill pretty much every day. One extra one that these guys pick up off the curb and dump at our transfer station. And
being manual, this is when you say burden, you really mean burden.
Yes. It's my job to make sure that the workload is diluted as much as possible to provide a working environment that is safe. And right now, that's my concern, is that this is risky. We already deal with herniated discs and lacerations and torn rotator cuffs, all kinds of work-related injuries. And a lot of these guys are working through some of these less significant injuries to make sure that, you know, this service is provided. We're all City of Kenosha residents, and we take a lot of pride in what we do. It's just that the risk has been has increased, essentially, through this month. And it was very significant starting April. And actually, even our landfill operator out at Pheasant Run called up to see exactly what was going on, because it seems like there's just a lot more garbage coming out there. And then that's when all of a sudden a lot of reports were coming out nationwide that this is actually something that is not exclusive to Kenosha, but throughout the country.
Has that created any problems at the drop-off site?
Well,
increased costs or any other issues?
The drop-off site itself was shut down for the state mandate for stay at home, and we wanted to make sure that we were also practicing that social distancing and not giving any reasons for anyone to leave the home. I know some people prioritize it differently than others, but this was a line that we had to draw and create a boundary. There was an inconvenience there, but we didn't see really much of an uptick in the bulk side of collection. It was mainly just the bags and cans of garbage. Now, we've reopened our drop-off site. And to clarify, it's on our website. It was in a press release. We've opened it for a limited amount of hours per week, not the regular normal hours. So Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, the drop-off site is open for recycling and also for bulk drop-off. So Thursdays, we are open for the bulk drop-off site. Tuesday and Thursday, we are open from 9:30 to 2:30 or until those chutes are full. And sometimes they can fill up really quick. And on Saturday, we're open from 8 to 1 o'clock, or again, until the chutes are full. Once those chutes are full, we shut the site down.
Where can people find this online? Is there a one click or a couple of clicks that they can make that they can find all the details so they can read them when they need them?
Yeah, absolutely. It's at kenosha.org. And I caution people not to Google City of Kenosha Public Works, because it will give you a few years back for the website. Go to kenosha.org, and it's pretty user-friendly. You go to Departments, Public Works, and Waste and Recycling, and it'll give you all the information right there. We also have the customized hours for the current situation that we're in.
That's great.
It also has all guidelines. It also has information for what's coming down the pike when it comes to this automated transition, things like that.
So we go to kenosha.org and then search from there, because Googling can take you to archived pages that are way out of date.
Yes, exactly. And it'll give you some misleading information.
Now, why don't we get into the big change in collection mechanics coming this summer, Keir? Why don't we start with a brief, broad overview of what's changing and the motivating reasons, and then we'll get into the weeds a little.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, we've been collecting garbage pretty much with the same method for 40 years. Back in 77, we went to curbside collection. Before that, we were alley collection, and we have been using the same one-man side-loading trucks since then. At the time, it was efficient. It was good for the size of the city. But in 77, we had 63 employees. We are now down, that's full-time employees. We are now down to 21 full-time employees for the entire city of Kenosha. With that being said, we're still doing the one-man collection with this significant increase in population and also an improvement in technology for collection. So for the last 4 years, I've been making the argument, making reports to do an automated system. Essentially,
well, that system that we've had with the one person throwing trash into the back of the truck, the trucks have changed a little bit in their construction since I was a child back in the very early 50s. But really, the basics in terms of what a person has to do hasn't changed one bit in forever.
Glenn, you're absolutely right. It's a very laborious, very difficult, very tiring job. And again, my main concern right now, I did this for 18 years before I became a superintendent, is just the dangerous nature of it. I mean, there are some catastrophic injuries out there. I do have one staff member who completely severed his Achilles tendon with a piece of glass in a bag. He's still working currently today. This happened about 5 years ago. But he has a permanent partial disability due to it. So the least amount of time, the least contact we have with garbage, the better. And that's what the industry standard is. That's another thing that's a problem for us, is that we don't currently have a seat at the collective table for waste and recycling collection, because we are so different in our methods than everybody else. I can't find another city our size that still collects manually. In the country, everyone has pretty much transitioned to an automated system. We're pretty much the last ones, and we are the last ones for sure in the state, in a city our size. Sheboygan.
That's really a striking thing. I'm very proud of so many aspects of Kenosha and Kenosha County, because we have often been leaders, but in this we really haven't been. And we have to thank you, I guess, for bringing us into the 21st century. We're about to enter the second decade officially of the 21st century, and we're going to finally get the only thing that could be worse is if we had horses pulling the current trucks, I guess.
So I have here, pictures of those. Yeah,
for sure. What is automated collection? Get us into what's going to happen.
Absolutely. So we are buying a whole new fleet of trucks. The trucks we currently have are past their lifespan anyway, so we're ready for a new fleet. These trucks will be completely automated, so the collector will not get out of the truck. There's an automated arm that is attached to the side of the truck, and it reaches out and with claws will grab carts that we will provide, the city of Kenosha will provide to the citizens and dump them without any manual labor to lift the garbage into the trucks by the staff members. It's going to change in pretty much one way, and it's going to be a container-based system instead of the system we have now, where you buy your own bags and put it out to the curb however you want to put it out. That's the only contingency we have, is we need those carts used and put so that they're accessible to these trucks. So we're going to have less trucks on the streets. Sheboygan transitioned the 4th on Monday to their automated system. I went up there to observe, and it's a really uniform look. It's a more professional look. All neighborhoods just have a cleaner nicer look to it. And, you know, I guess I'm just, what I'm looking forward to is this efficiency. And the fact of the matter is that we're going to have a larger pool of people to hire from. Right now, the cryo is CDL, and it's a very laborious, mentally challenging job in an uncontrolled environment. Hot, cold, snow, this will change that. And I believe that it's going to be more efficient, and it's going to be a better way of throwing garbage out for the citizens also. I think it's going to be a little bit more definitive and less responsibility on the citizens once they get used to it. I think the change is going to be, people are skeptical, and I understand that, and we have to collaborate together, residents and public works, to make sure that this is a good rollout and a smooth transition.
My guest today on Community Matters is Keir Powell. He's the superintendent of the Kenosha Public Works Department Division of Waste and Recycling. Keir, we all have one or more trash cans now. What are we to do with our old trash cans?
There's a couple different things. Well, more than that, but you can always use them around the house for different storage things or compost things, something like that. If you don't want your cans at all, the metal ones, I would recommend you call Public Works at 653-4050, leave it on the curb, and we'll recycle them, because the metal is absolutely recyclable. The plastic ones are not, and I'll guarantee you that they will fit in these 95-gallon carts. Just toss it in your cart, empty, and then fill those garbage cans inside the carts with garbage, and they'll go straight into the trucks.
Oh, well, that's cool. I was wondering what to do with my old ones, and I didn't have any plans to bronze them and keep them as keepsakes. So this is a good idea. What kind of cart are we getting? What kind of cans are we getting? I'm a little confused about that. There's two sizes of cans that I've heard about.
Right. So each resident or each property will receive two carts per household. So if it's a single family residence, you'll get a garbage cart and a recycling cart. Two family residences, we provide collection for up to four units. Each unit will get two carts.
So when you talk about it as a cart, I'm a little confused. Is this a wagon that the cans fit in?
The cart itself, we call them carts, kind of like an industry term. It's a garbage can with big wheels on the bottom. They're very easy to actually to maneuver. I was at the Kenosha Expo, and we had one meeting that was a public meeting that was overwhelmingly successful, to a point where it was my bad that we didn't anticipate that kind of interest, where we had the carts there for everyone to see. But it's a big garbage can with wheels on them and a hinged lid. And like I said, there'll be a blue one for recycling and a tan one for garbage. They will be provided and they will be delivered to each residence. There will be a postcard essentially sent to each household, giving them the date that they will be arriving and the date that we will roll out this automated system. So they are 95 gallons for the first month. We are only going to deliver, the first delivery is going to be all 95 gallons. We're going to use them for a month. And after that, we're going to offer up an option of a 65-gallon cart. It's smaller, definitely. But I want everyone to understand that although it is smaller, it's smaller in the sense that it's shorter. There isn't much of a footprint difference. So that will be offered as an option after a month of using those 95-gallon carts. We have a grant for the recycling carts that pretty much obligate us to those 95-gallon carts. For $15 a cart, they pay us. We can use that grant. It's $500,000. We couldn't, you know, decline that money. It has really helped defray the cost of this entire program. It really helped
us. That's
a
wonderful, wonderful, great deal you all have been able to negotiate and apply for. That's terrific.
Yeah, and actually these carts are made by Rarick Pacific at their plant in Pleasant Prairie. So we're using City of Kenosha resident employers, you know, so that's something that was very important to me. Rarick Pacific is a really good company, and they've been very, very helpful in trying to get this off the ground and running. And I look forward to working with them even further. So it's a really good company.
That's terrific. So some of my friends who are also septuagenarians are wondering why we have to wait a month. And that explains it. That's a wonderful understanding to have. Mm-hmm. Now, what about though? There are those of us who are physically challenged from time to time. I've had my spells of hospitalization and the recovery where I could not have managed that if I were alone, for example. And you understand you have some contingency plans for those special exceptional cases. Could you share that with us, please, Keir?
Sure, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we have one currently. We do call it an elderly handicapped collection. We do have, it's a small form to fill out and have the doctor fill out. And right now, currently, with that form, you give us the address, you tell us where you're going to put that garbage, and we go to your front stoop, to your back door, over by your garage to make sure that we get it. And it's more convenient for someone who is disabled or elderly and can't get it all the way to the curb. We don't plan on discontinuing that. I think that that's an important service that we provide, and we'll still continue to provide that service. So everyone's still going to get those carts, right? But you can keep them by your back door, by your garage, wherever you would like to keep them, and we'll go up to where the cart is, dump it, and bring it right back to where you have it placed. Before all of this, the COVID-19 thing came about, my main intention was to go throughout the community to different houses for people who had concerns and show them the cart and bring it and have them use it to show them that it's not as bad as it sounds. And same with I talked to different condo associations too about where they would place them and are they going to be too big. And you know, I think it's really important that we continue to accommodate and work with and collaborate with, again, all of the residents here to make sure that they're comfortable with this as much as possible. But we will have an elderly handicapped collection, and we will collect it and take it from wherever they have it that's most convenient for them.
I think that people will worry about the size, and if you haven't already looked it up, the frequently asked questions on the city's website will give you all the details. I'm not going to try to give dimensions over the air. I think no one would be able to grasp that and write it down anyway. So, but you can look it up and you can get the exact dimensions of these cans, and then you can measure and start to decide how you want to use them. Now, Keir, can you talk a little bit more about the process of collection and what day will my pickup be? Where do I put these large cans, which because of their gallon size sound tremendous, but because of their mode of construction, I gather that they are rather easy to roll around because they have big wheels and the weight is distributed correctly. But what do I do with these on the day, and where do I put it? When do I put it out? And I also wanted to ask a question about the lids. People are really concerned about you know, rodents. We have lots of foxes out here where I live.
Sure.
Do these things really snap shut so that we don't attract, for those that have to keep them outside, start to attract unsightly rodents?
Well, I'll answer that first. I mean, I have that same concern throughout the entire community. They're tapered up, so they widen up at the top, and they're built of very sturdy plastic, and those lids come completely shut. They don't necessarily snap, but they're heavy enough that rodents and animals are will not be able to get in them. That is one of the main selling points of this system, an automated system, is that it does keep that garbage away from rodents. And what you see now in the city of Kenosha are piles of bags of garbage and you know, old broke down cans, things like that. And it spreads garbage throughout the neighborhood because dogs, cats, raccoons, possums, skunks, they all get into this garbage and they tear it up and it starts flying down all the streets. Once we contain it like that, it'll be a much safer environment and a much safer and cleaner community. These carts themselves, you know, we talk about the size, and I really don't want people to panic too much about the size, but one of the benefits of that is your frequency to the curb, especially with recycling. We've been having an issue with recycling for the last couple of years, and I know that people are aware of this, that blue bags are now not being accepted. They have been essentially banned from our facilities that separate their recycling into their components. And there's this misconception that all of our blue bags are being landfilled. That's just not the case. I was at our facility. It's in Germantown, just north of Milwaukee. And the bags do present a challenge for the employees. They get gummed up in the machinery. They have to stop that machine. And it disrupts the service and production. And they have to clean out all the teeth of all the sorters and everything. So they want our recycling to be loose. So these recycling carts, I want all recycling to be put into there loose. No bags whatsoever. Well, it's going to take you a while to fill those carts up. So you don't have to put it out every single time that it's your day for recycling. You could put it out once a month, once every month and a half, you know, depending on, you know, your, you know, preference and whether you'd like to do that. Same thing with like, especially super cold weather. If you have one or two bags in your cart for garbage, it's not going to smell. It's not going to biodegrade or anything because it's going to be frozen. You can save it for another week. There are some benefits to those larger cans. And then with those wheels and the way they're built, they're pretty easy. It's like a hand truck almost. There will be some issues. And again, I promise to collaborate and work with everyone to make sure that they're going to be okay with this. It is happening. I understand that, you know, the residents didn't have a say in this. I believe truly that is the best direction to head, especially since we're the last ones in the state to do it. That being said, I want to make sure that everyone's okay with it. Definitely.
Now, I'm thinking about how I will change the way I process my recycling. I currently have a small container in my utility room that I fill, and then I take those bags out and I stick them to the side in the garage, and then I bring them out every other week. So now I'll be rinsing the food out of the cans and bottles or whatever. Is that right?
Yes. So the cleaner the recycling, the more recyclable it is.
And that's not a change. So
no, that hasn't changed.
I'd continue to do that, and then I might keep them in the house in some small container, as I do now, and then periodically go to the garage or the side of the house or the back of the house and fill up the bigger container. I think that's the way I'm envisioning it. And that, does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And again, I think that this takes away a lot of responsibility from the residents. You don't have to find blue bags anymore, which are becoming harder and harder to find.
Yes.
You don't have to put cardboard, newspaper out in a certain way. It all goes into this 95-gallon cart. It all goes in there loose, and it all goes in there together. So there is no more purchase of blue bags or hunting them down. No more bundling your cardboard or putting a newspaper into the brown paper bags. However you want to put it in that cart, as long as it's clean. And I'll give you kind of an example that is probably not something I should say, but peanut butter for me. Right? Cleaning out a peanut butter jar. It's a lot of effort. it really is for me. I don't know what my problem is. I don't want to sit there and clean it out. So my peanut butter jars typically go into the garbage for me because they will not be recycled unless they're completely clean. Everything else is rinsed out and cleaned for me, but you know, make sure that is the cleanest as possible. No full food cans, things like that is not recyclable. All of our rules in place right now for garbage and recycling remain. So, you know, we take glass bottles, we take aluminum cans, tin cans, plastic bottles for, you know, water and for detergent, things like that. We take newspaper, magazines, cardboard. We take all of those. We do not take pizza boxes.
What about mixed paper?
Absolutely. Letter paper, things like that, we definitely take.
Mail?
I'm sorry?
Mail?
Mail, yes, absolutely. If you need to shred it, if it's shredded, I would put it in the garbage. Wind catches shredded paper, and that could be, you know, looking like a ticker tape parade if we don't, you know, contain it. We do not take styrofoam, egg cartons, things like that. Pizza boxes that had pizza in it, that grease contaminates that cardboard, that is garbage. All these rules are in place right now. And Len, I got to tell you, I think that Kenosha is in a really advantageous position when it comes to how clean our recycling stream can be. Because, again, we are the last ones, I can emphasize this loose recycling where all the communities who have this automated system in place right now, they never really emphasize that no bag thing. So they're having to re-educate their entire population about changing the way and the way they recycle. Well, we're doing that right now, and I think for sure for a while there we will have one of the cleanest streams in the state, and I'm excited about that too.
Well, I'm excited to know that you're a peanut butter freak like I am, and I probably waste way too much water cleaning out my peanut butter containers.
I got some good advice from the Kenosha Expo, and I might start trying to use that.
Now, what else about the what day are we going to get it picked up? Just like today?
Yeah. So whatever day your garbage pickup is, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through Friday, that remains the same. The same with recycling. There is an A week and there is a B week. That does not change. All of that remains the same. All the services we provide are the same. So we still have bulk collection, you know, and none of the rules are changing for that, but we do have policies in place for it. We are trying to enforce them. Our drop-off site, once we're back up and running and we have back to normal, we'll have the same hours. We'll accept the same things. Like I said, the only thing that's really going to change is that we're going to be a container-based system, but everything else stays the same.
This is so exciting. I just love coming into the 21st century with our garbage and our recycling. This is, I just love this topic.
Yeah, I am too, and it's kind of funny, but strange to say, I guess, but I have a really big passion about garbage and recycling because I think it's a very important service, and at times, yeah, it's quite understandable that when you come home, you want to see that garbage and recycling up off the curb. And what these guys do right now, especially with the amount of weight that they're throwing, we're about 15, 16 tons per guy per day. They're in and out of a truck about 750 times a day, which equates to about 128,000 times a year. Injuries for these guys are pretty much inevitable. I don't think anyone hasn't had an injury. So getting this up and running is something that has been a long time coming, and I'm really excited about it. And the thing is that with the timing and everything, it's become a challenge for awareness. And I really, really think it's important. And Len, I want to thank you so much for letting me do this, that we can get the information out any way possible. And I'm a true believer that everyone deserves their questions to be answered, and I prefer it to be in person. I was looking forward to the public meetings. As much as I'm not a fan of crowds, I really like to put it forth person to person. Interpersonal contact is most important to me, so we're trying to do something different.
Now, Keir, I'm wondering about how these trucks are going to make it. I'm in a subdivision where there are sometimes cars all over the streets, and when there's winter, I have a two-car driveway and a two-car garage, so there is mounds of snow at the edge of my driveway. So that's an issue. I'm worried. I'm fantasizing. What am I going to do with these things? And if they don't come and pick it up early enough, then I have to navigate around it when I back my car up. out, if I'm going to be going somewhere. Can you talk just a little bit about where the carts are placed at the street and how this interacts with parking and our snow piles?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a great question. These trucks have a 12-foot reach. So as long as those carts are within 12 feet of that truck, we can get it. And as I was mentioning before, Monday the 4th, I was up in Sheboygan and watching their rollout, and I did witness and observed parked cars. As long as those carts were reachable by those claws, they reached right past the parked cars and grabbed those carts. My recommendation for everybody would to reserve your place is put those wheels on the curb. So they're resting up against the curb and they're in the street, but no one can park on top of them. And when it comes to snow, if there's snow plowing operations in effect, again, as long as we're 12 feet within reach of those carts, we can get them. So you can put them in your parkway, you can put them in your approach. But if there's no snow operations going on, but there's just a lot of snow, we still have in place, and we've just kind of, we've gone above and beyond. But the policy was to shovel out an area for your garbage cans or your bags of garbage to be so that the collector could get it. And we would jump up into the snow, into the parkways, up on top of those big old piles of snow at the end of your driveways and grab those cans and grab those bags of garbage. Now, if there's no snow operations, you can put those cans in the street with the wheels, again, facing the house, the handles facing the house. That's the way they're supposed to be put so that when they dump them, they don't turn into essentially garbage catapults. If they're put in the wrong way and we dump them with the lids facing the wrong way, we can throw a bunch of garbage out into the front yard. We'll collect it the first couple times, but we need to make sure that everyone puts those carts out the perfect way or the right way.
Is there some language on the cart so that
yes.
I remember? I don't know if the first month I'm going to have a hard time remembering which way the wheels are going to point, I have a feeling.
Well, and the thing is that, yeah, the first month, we're going to work with everybody. So what we're going to do is probably try to have as many people following around, and we're going to have to train. So there will be two guys per truck for a while. And if there's something like a cart facing the wrong way or behind a car, we're going to get out and we're going to get it. And then we're going to knock on the door and we're going to start sending letters to make sure, hey, you know, this was the issue. It was blocked by a car or you had it facing the wrong way. We'll get it for a while, but please, this would be a reason in the future that we might leave this. But yes, there is signage on those carts saying arrows point to the center of the street, all kinds of user-friendly help on those carts.
Now, there's also a requirement that I saw posted that I have to provide a certain amount of space between the garbage, the wheeled garbage bin, and the wheeled recycling bin, and any other items out for collection. Can you explain that so I get the idea of where to put these? I've currently put the garbage on one side of my driveway and the recycling on the other side of my driveway. Do you have any recommendations?
That's actually the best recommendation I can give. If you don't have that ability to do that, 3 feet is plenty. The reason we ask for 3 feet or why Waste Collection asks for that is because of the claws grabbing those carts. You know, if you get them too close, it's just hard to thread that needle. The same thing with cars and trees like and things like that. Mailboxes. I do have one story. We did have automated at one point, about 25 years ago on the north side. We had 1,000 households, and I was on one of those routes. And I grabbed a mailbox along with the cart without knowing and ripped the mailbox out of the ground. So we do need that clearance just so those claws can grab those efficiently and without any type of possible damage to anything else.
When will this start? Do you have a firm date as to when I'll get my big wheeled bins and when the exciting new trucks? I can't wait to see these trucks. I think they're going to be so cool.
Yeah, the trucks are all orange, just like the trucks we got now, and it's a safety yellow automated arm. So it's ugly cool. I can't wait to see him too. I'm really excited. So we had some defined dates. However, unfortunately, the factory that's making our trucks had a fire in it. So we're possibly pushed back. That's why right now, I know that everyone is really interested in when this is rolling out. End of summer, for sure. As soon as we get delivery dates, and we're really just kind of anchored to delivery dates of the trucks and the carts. The carts are ready to go. Rarid Pacific is ready to do this. And as soon as I get confirmation, and right now, and this is a good actually point to make, I need two trucks. We're going to do a soft rollout. I should mention this. So a month prior to the entire city getting the carts, there are going to be neighborhoods Monday, each day of the week, Monday through Friday, that we are going to essentially roll out first so that we can check different areas that we might have to tweak, areas of concern that we might have to address completely. So we've picked some neighborhoods throughout, and they'll be notified when they will be rolled out early for them. And then when we roll out the entire city, everyone will get a postcard telling them when your carts are coming and what date we're rolling this out. We're going to have more signage coming up. There's going to be a big media blitz starting with you throughout May and into June with all kinds of different website issue things and pop-up banners. And we're going to wrap some of our trucks with information on the ones that are out there right now. But as soon as we get a definitive date, everyone will know. We're just waiting on our truck manufacturer to, you know, sort out their fire.
We're pre-recording this program, but I very much doubt that anything will change on the situation before we have this on the air. Now, these trucks, how bad a fire was that at the plant, and where was that? What part of the country are we talking about?
So our trucks, there's two different factories. Our chassis is by Autocar, and they were built in Alabama. The packer boxes with the automated arm that's going to hold all of the garbage is a company called New Way, and they're out of Scranton, Iowa. There was a fire in their paint bay, so I don't know the significance of the damage. I did call back in March to make sure that everything was online just because of the corona issue, and they weren't too concerned, but once they started going through the damage, because they told me about the fire then, they let us know that there's a possible delay. That being said, if I can get two trucks for that soft rollout, we'll still be on time. I would love to give dates right now. I'm chomping at the bit to give dates, but that would be
We'll just have to wait and see. I hope there was no loss of life or no injury. Those paint fires.
No, everyone's fine. Yeah, no worries. Yeah.
Everyone was safe. Oh, that's great news. I wonder if we could review a little bit more in detail about what goes into the garbage bin. And maybe it's more important to, at this point, to remind us what you don't put in the garbage bin. I know one of those things is broken glass plate glasses.
No, we can put broken plate glass in these bins now.
Really?
Whatever fits in there, yes.
I think that's a change.
We take plate glass off the curb, mainly as bulk items, but we do take it off the curb even as regular garbage. We prefer that it's taped so that if it does break, it kind of sticks together.
What if you have something that's already broken? What if you have a window pane that's broken or glass jar that's broken? Is that still safe to put into the garbage bin?
The garbage carts that we're getting, absolutely. There's absolutely no problem with that. And if you were to do it now before we do all this automated, just give us a heads up. Put a label on the bag or wrap it really tight with brown paper bag paper and then tape it up. And even just like a small sign saying, you know, caution, broken glass. We'll take it. No worries.
Just remember that a human being is picking that up, and you need to give them a heads up.
Yeah, I mean, we've been stuck with needles, and there's all kinds of different things that you really have to be aware of, but it's really hard because it's all covered by plastic or you know, inside cans.
Give us another anything else that's really dangerous to put in? Otherwise, I think it's time for us to get some specifics from you about the website, whether you have a Facebook page, whether there's a phone number people can get. Is there any place besides Kenosha.org we should go for information, Keir?
Kenosha.org is the best. I would recommend talking to your aldermen. They're getting information also. I believe they all have Facebook pages, or most of them have Facebook pages. The city of Kenosha does not have a Facebook page, but I want to work with the library and the museums with their social media and maybe do something with them. So in the future, look to them for any type of information that I can give through them. We will be answering emailed in questions and texted in questions.
That's great.
On
I
a weekly
basis
that. On Tuesdays.
That's great. My guest today has been Keir Powell, Superintendent of Waste and Recycling for the City of Kenosha. For Community Matters, this is Len Iaquinta urging you to get informed and get involved in making this improved collection system work for the good health of the workers and for our neighborhoods. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
In other words, please be true. In other words.
Have a good weekend, stay safe, stay healthy, and thanks for listening.
Morning Edition from NPR News is committed to bringing you voices to help you through this unprecedented moment.
Call that friend you haven't talked to in years. Call your mother, as they would say.
Definitely take a walk, definitely go to the park, definitely ride bikes. But if a crowd starts to form, as unsocial as it seems, back away a little bit. Find your own space.
Stay connected. Listen every day.
Support for WPR comes from UW-Madison Badger Talks Live, a Facebook Live series featuring faculty and staff on a variety of engaging topics. Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon. BadgerTalks.wisc.edu.
You're listening to WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.